Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. As you may know, I've been recording Walnut Grovecast for nearly 4 years, and as we approach our 100th episode, I just wanted to thank the people who continue to support this show. I received a package of new stickers in the mail today, and we'll get them out by the end of the week. This is absolutely the corniest of stickers, so be prepared. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell, Laura Solarin, Kim and Jack Layer, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Aaron Wortman, Peyton England, Angela Bowen, Anne Quinn, Dottie Cashin, Stacy Keller, Gerald Lang, Matt Mercier, Dean Butler, Ginny Comer, Jeannie Schneider-Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, The No Agenda Podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Whitney, Brian S., Bobby Young, Brenda Worsley, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV Podcast, Don Roberts, Samantha Larson-Randall, and Max Duration. Thank you again for your support, and I look forward to making many, many more episodes. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you live in 1863. To Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark. I am on tonight with a very special guest, a new person who I'm bringing on to the show to just kind of hang out and talk about an episode. Amanda, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And I look forward to, picking your brain on this episode.
I'm excited for sure.
Awesome. And you're somebody who's listened to the show a few times, and you just reached out to me, and we kind of got into a conversation, and here we are. So the magic of shooting an email or something, right?
Right.
We were talking about what episode to choose for the first time, and we kind of went back and forth, and we settled on Little Women.
Yes.
Little Women. Now, what do you think of this episode? Is this something that you look back very fondly, or what are your thoughts on this episode when it comes on? Or if you're like, all right, you know what? Nobody's really watching this on television for the most part. And is this an episode that you would go to, I guess?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen this episode so many times. It's mm-hmm. one of my favorites, and it never fails to make me cry, but I'm a bit of a sap, so.
You know, it's weird. To be expected. Whenever I watch this particular episode, two things happen. One, I totally forget about what is going on in this episode. I, for whatever reason, I cannot get it in my mind what is going on. Whenever I see the character Ginny, I think it's the Swedish girl who had the shoe made by Michael and by Pa. So I'm always confusing them, and I'm like, is that a wig? And then we find out... No spoilers, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a very, for whatever reason, I have a mental block with this episode for forever, even though it was in heavy rotation when I was a kid.
Yeah. No, it's funny that you say that you confused Ginny for the girl that had the issue with her foot or her leg, because that's exactly what my boyfriend said when he was watching this episode with me. He was like, wasn't that girl on another episode? So it's not just you.
Well, they look exactly alike, so I think they were going for a certain character.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's also strange is Ginny comes, and she's, like, best friends with everybody, but we've never seen Ginny before, and we will never see Ginny again.
Right.
Laura and Mary have so many one-shot deal friends. It's kind of hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
This episode discusses something we don't normally get into at the time, and that's the literature of the period.
Right.
I thought that was pretty interesting. We open up, and we get right into it. We have probably a top three favorite character of the whole show, Willie.
Oh, yeah.
At times, anyway, depending on what era of Little House on the Prairie you're talking about. But this is a good... This is my favorite level of Willie, where he's kind of crazy in this episode. He's really... he's a wild card. But here we go. Oh, yeah. He's kind of geared up. He's got a sword, and he's running around, and let's just check on Willie.
Stand and deliver.
Stand and what?
What in heaven's name are you doing, Willie? He's Robin Hood.
Robin Hood?
Yeah. And no one passes through Sherwood Forest without paying tribute, half of everything you have.
Half of nothing is nothing. Get out of the way.
No, not until you pay.
He robs from the rich and gives to the poor. He already gave us a half a stick of licorice.
Those are my merry men, and no one can beat Robin Hood as merry men.
Oh, yeah? Well, you're forgetting about Little John. And I'm going to beat you just like Little John unless you get out of my way.
We have a little sword fight going on. Pretty high action. We have, in the background there talking, we have Carl Edwards. Carl Sanderson Edwards. And he's one of the, he's kind of a bully here a little bit, right?
Yeah, his character is really just surprisingly just mean.
And, yeah, I was surprised.
You know, they take advantage of Willie, but, I mean, he kind of lets them.
And he's even looking for a little bit of tobacco. So, yeah, it was kind of strange, you know. But this kind of crescendos pretty quickly, this back and forth. And Willie and Laura, they kind of get into a little bit of a scuttle, I guess. Willie has no problem punching not only the character Laura, but in real life, his sister.
Yeah.
So they're fighting, and Miss Beetle comes running out with all very prim and proper, and Harriet comes running, and we just know this is going to be just, it's going to be a moment in time right here.
Laura Ingalls! Oh, my, really?
It wasn't her fault.
Oh, no.
Yeah! He said he was Robin Hood.
Well, so what?
And he wouldn't let us through unless we paid him.
I don't think there's been much damage.
They look down and they see that it is what?
Yes, completely trampled.
Yeah, so here's her response. That's a store-bought hat. That was probably pretty expensive. And one of the things in this episode that we get into in a little while is how pricey some things that the Olsons acquire are. They're very pricey. Holy moly.
Well, it may not seem like much to you, but this happens to have been my very best hat. Willie.
Everyone knows Robin Hood has to have a feather.
Oh, well, I'll feather you, young man. Willie, you come along with me.
So they go off, and Laura's kind of cracking up. It was a little bit of a funny moment when Harriet pulls the hat away really fast, and a feather kind of goes into Miss Beetle's face. And I think that's kind of what Melissa Gilbert was laughing at.
Yeah, no. And
just got a little nudge.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I thought that was strange that, you know, she kind of was, you know, kind of laughing. And then you see Miss Beetle look at her like, you know, shouldn't be laughing at this moment.
Like, shut up. you stupid star. You star of the whole stupid show. So Miss Beetle is angry. And, you know, this is something I see more and more and more, or at least I'm noticing it more and more, is I would say 85% of the kids on this show are blonde.
Mm-hmm.
It is
absolutely
crazy. And especially the people in the background who we never get to see again, they're just blonde. It's so wild.
Yeah. No, I have noticed that too.
There is no excuse for what happened outside just now. I will not tolerate fighting among my students.
It was Laura's fault. She wouldn't play right. Well, nobody likes being held up.
Robin Hood can't give anything away until he gets something.
We are not Robin Hood.
Laura.
We are poor, so there.
We are dumb.
You're poor, so there. And you have... It's just really funny. I have to take a screenshot of this. It's really hilarious. If you look at Nelly when Willie calls them poor, she's just like, yes, yes, my evil little brother.
So Nelly and Laura go stand in the corner. Now.
No, I've never seen this before. I've never seen Laura get sent to the corner.
Yeah, I actually read somewhere that this was the only episode that she was ever, you know, reprimanded for anything she did. But, I mean, not that she was doing much, but, you know.
Well, Laura's usually standing up and running out of the room. Like, that's usually right. Her, like, her MO. But what I think is very strange is they go to the same corner. And Willie actually has, I guess, territorial issues here.
Yeah.
It's my corner.
Laura, stand in the other corner.
Idiot. It's just so funny. Like, I don't know. There's something about this particular, these few scenes that just seem like kind of out of control. Like, mm-hmm. Even when they were filming it. Like, it just doesn't seem, it's too comedic. It's
like very chaotic for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, right back to schoolwork, you know, Miss Beadle's, of course, just talking about, you know, let's get back to school. Mary has an idea. So Mary, of course, has to raise her hand and showboat to the whole world that she has wonderful thoughts. Another thing, why, you know, on the chalkboard, if you look, it's all printed. Why wouldn't mm-hmm. it not be in cursive?
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, it would have made more sense for it to be in cursive for that. I would think for that time.
Now, very often I'll see cursive on the board and it's really not great. Like it's not, you know, it's sloppy mm-hmm. 1977 cursive. I do want to mention mm-hmm. this episode aired on January 24th, 1977.
This is, oh, wow.
The beginning of 1977. Star Wars had not even been released yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a big, big time. That I guess Star Wars would change the world of Little House on the Prairie.
For sure.
Yeah, right. here we go. Mary has a bright idea.
Now, it'd be much better if you would choose your parts ahead of time. That way no one gets hurt and...
Oh, whoops. I think I don't know if I did. I'll let this play. I'm going to go back just a little bit more.
Okay.
Now, while I appreciate your enthusiasm over the books and stories you've read in class, you must understand that it's not safe when you let your play acting get out of hand. Willie, turn around.
Willie was sticking his tongue out at Laura. It almost looks right. Like he's sticking his tongue out at Miss Beadle, but no. Beadle's bun is really crazy. Like, if you look at it, it looks... I'm sure it's a wig, but I mean, it's crazy. Like, if people really did this to their hair.
That would be so time consuming. And I've always thought it looked so strange. Like it looked kind of like a soccer ball on the side of her head.
Yeah. It's like golden locks. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now it'd be much better if you would choose your parts ahead of time. That way no one gets hurt and no one gets angry. Yes, Mary.
Could we get together and do a play on some of the books we've read?
Well, I hadn't thought of it, but if the class would like to do it, I think it might be very educational, as well as a lot of fun. Would you like to do that?
Yeah!
Well, good. Now, each of you decide the group you want to be in, and together you can select the material you'd like to do. Yes.
May I invite my mother to watch?
Oh, God. It's like, everybody's just like, oh, my God.
She knows everything about acting.
Yes, Nellie, I'm sure she does. Why don't we make this a special occasion? We can put the plays on for all the parents.
Can I do Robin Hood?
Willie, face the corner.
It's a legitimate question, though. Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they basically, they're going to choose their favorite books, and they're going to give little plays. And it's all hilarity ensues. but what do we have? I mean, a lot of things happen. The girls are talking about, you know, whether what they want to do and what they don't want to do. We get introduced to Ginny, who has a big head of hair, big blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
I say big hair because her hair is very big. It's clearly a wig.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was about to say that was something I was going to mention, but yeah. Like, I don't know about spoilers, but really, you know, shouldn't listen to this episode if you've not seen this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I don't think, I would say the majority of people listening right now have seen this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go. We have Laura, we have Mary, and we have Ginny, and a girl who I've never seen before in my whole life, talking about what play they want to do, and which is kind of funny because that girl who I've never seen before in my entire life completely bails mm-hmm. once she finds out that Nellie's a part of this. Kind of hilarious. She was the smart one.
Maybe we could do Snow White and Rose Red.
We don't have anybody to play the prince.
She's right, Laura. Ginny, do you have a favorite?
It doesn't matter to me.
Well, whatever it is, it has to be something with all girls.
Little Women has lots of...
Now, in the background, you have Nellie just kind of eavesdropping, like, oh, I'm just standing here getting air.
Girls?
Hey, that's right, and it's a good story.
Little Women is my favorite. I already know most of it by heart.
That's nice, Nellie. Now all we have to do is pick out a theme.
Yeah. I know just the scene we ought to do. I'll play Meg. She's the smartest.
Nellie... I don't think I want to be in this place.
Alicia may be right. Little Women may not be such a good idea after all.
Oh, it's Alicia. Who's Alicia?
I think that's Mr. Edwards' adopted daughter.
Yeah, but doesn't that come like much later?
I know. I'm not entirely sure about the timeline.
This will be the second time in 2 days I'm saying this.
Okay.
I want to create a timeline with the characters and... So I know when and what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I can't not keep track on the fictional world of Walnut Grove.
Right.
I need a visual
representation.
I need a visual representation to keep me kind of focused.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. We're going to continue hearing more about this.
It's perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. We have just the right number to play Meg and Beth and Joe and Marmee. And my mother will let us practice at my house.
Oh, could we? Everyone says your parlor's the prettiest in Hero Township.
Now, they could have easily said no, I think. It would not have been that big of a deal. But Ginny wants to go to see Nellie's parlor, and it is a very nice parlor. It's a very, mm-hmm. it's probably the nicest house in Hero Township.
Oh, for sure.
And they have wallpaper and everything. So we get a promise of playing with French dolls and all this other kind of great stuff. So for Jenny's sake, they decide to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are kind of walking home. Laura, of course, is complaining about their decision, regretting it even before it happens.
I still don't see why I had to let Nellie in our group.
Have a look on Ginny's face. It meant so much to her, getting to go to Nellie's and all.
That's like wanting to go to hell instead of heaven.
Laura Ingalls.
Well, like Pa said, it's got to be there for somebody.
Whoa. Oh. The closest thing we've ever heard to a curse on this show. Almost.
I know.
I think it's Carrie who says damn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they go to the city.
Because she's learning bad words on the street.
And in the episode, My Ellen, the mother throws a Bible at the reverend. It says, you know, you keep your damn book.
Your damn book.
I thought that was pretty intense for that show, honestly.
Yeah, and like, Reverend Alden? He was like,
yes.
It's like, who do you think you are throwing my Bible? No, but he didn't say that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't like throw holy water at her.
I know.
But so this episode is kind of, we're getting to the point here. We're kind of understanding pretty simple. But now there's a new character who gets introduced, another person we've never seen before. And mm-hmm. he's a super familiar looking guy, but I don't really know who he is outside of this. Here we go. And I thought it was her father at first. You know, the way they have a relationship, it's a little bit like, it's a bit much, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey there, Lillian.
Hi!
Bet you can't guess what I run on through today.
He swoops her up and all this stuff, and it's like, stranger danger.
I know.
That's not your pa. Run.
Not rabbit hunting today. I found me a real honeybee tree. And I thought to myself, who is it that likes honey better than bears and bees?
Me!
That's what I thought to myself. So. I got one for you, one for your ma to put back.
Come on in the house, my ma will want to thank you.
Kind of think I'll wait out here.
All right, but you wait though for sure.
For sure.
So she goes running in there, and we have Ma inside peeling a potato, looking through her curtains, and she's not too happy about this. But, you know, I'm looking at the actor Warren Vanders, who plays, oh my God, what's his name?
Mr. Mayfield.
Yeah, Mr. Harold Mayfield. And he had a pretty big career. His career goes all the way back to 1958. He's in a lot of Westerns and a lot of Disney stuff. But he had a pretty decent show. I mean, a pretty decent collection of shows that he was on.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen him in something or another. But he unfortunately passed away in 2009.
Oh.
It was 11 years ago. I'm getting over it. But here we go. We're going to have Ginny come in and share this news. Now, their house is pretty nice, too. They have wood walls and everything's, I don't know, everything seems nicer than the Ingalls.
Everyone's house in this show is much nicer.
It really is. Her mantle's nice and the stonework is nice.
A lot of decorative items in that house, too. And you notice at the Ingalls house, it's just Ma's one, you know, little china on the mantle.
Yeah, and then Pa put his, like, watch on the mantle once, and it gets stolen. And, I don't know. They live in a tougher neighborhood, maybe.
I guess so.
I should have sped past this part, but...
Mama, tell Mr. Mayfield we're most grateful, but really didn't need to bother.
It's honey, Mama.
I know what it is. Who tell him?
He's waiting for a thank you.
Honey, he brought it for you. Go thank him.
But he brought it for us.
Thank him.
All right, Mama.
She thanks him, and he kind of has a long face about it. He has an interest in courting Mrs. Clark, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a recent widow, we learn later. I'll just tell it now. Her husband passed away. I don't know if we know why or how he passed away, but about 2 years ago.
Right.
And I'm forgetting his name again. What is the gentleman? Mr. Mayfield.
Oh, Mr. Mayfield. Yeah.
He lost his wife 5 years ago. So, you know, they're both on the mend emotionally.
Right.
But he seems like a super nice guy and really seems to be invested a little too much in Ginny.
Yeah.
But Ma's overwhelmed. Ginny likes him, wants him as a pa. And I just don't see it really going much of anywhere. But Ginny has to continue trying. So.
I think Mr. Mayfield's awful nice. So I remember to tell him I was going to be in a play.
Play? What play's that?
At school. Little Women. Laura and Mary and me and Nellie Olson. We get to practice at her house.
Doesn't sound like school studies to me.
It's not exactly. This theater calls it an entertainment. All the parents are invited to come.
Sounds like taking people's good time away from work.
Mama, I want you to come. Say yes, oh please.
Oh, Jenny, don't pester me. Oh, Jenny, since your pa died, takes every moment I got just to keep body and soul together.
But Ma, it's only one morning, and all the parents will be there.
All the more reason for me to keep to my home. Besides, But I don't have a dress fit to wear.
Please, Ma, just this once.
Oh, Jenny, don't argue with me. Now, you've got your chores to do. Go do them.
Yeah, so she's a pretty private person. She's still dealing. I guess she's planning on remaining mourning her husband forever. But 2 years, it's really not that long of a period of time.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, you know. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just... Go on.
Just 2 years is not that long of a time. I feel like it's completely understandable that she would still be in mourning.
Yeah, maybe they should have made it like 4 years or something.
Right.
Not that it's that much better, but I mean, it's 2 years seems like, that's just,
still fairly recent, yeah.
Like 2 summers ago. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a little bit of a peek in the Olsen's house. Beautiful spread on the dining room table, and the fine china is out. Or maybe this is just the regular daily china that they use. But it's all very nice.
Well, there's no question about it.
Did you notice she's talking with her mouth full? And she's licking her fingers? It's the whole thing. It's like, it's everything that she is not, basically, is what she's doing.
Right.
We just have to plan on closing the store on Friday morning, that's all.
Willie, use your fork.
Yes, sir.
Seems kind of expensive to me, Harriet.
Well, after all, don't you want to see your daughter's debut as an actress? Not to mention mine as the playwright.
You're going to write it?
Mm-hmm. Mother's the only person in Walnut Grove who's been to a real play.
Yes, I'm sure she is. It still sounds like a lot of to-do about nothing to me.
Willie, as usual, is shoving more food in his mouth than is humanly possible. I just love Willie. He's so funny and, animated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after all, Willie needs a part, so I can write something in it for him.
I'm not going to be a little woman.
Oh, don't be silly.
Well, this is one time I tend to agree with Willie. You ought to do something more appropriate for a boy, like this this new Mark Twain book, Tom Sawyer.
None of the boys will do anything with Willie. They would if I didn't run out of licorice.
Willie, I've told you, you can't buy friends.
I wasn't. I was just trying to rent them.
Oh, Willie.
See, Harriet thinks it's funny. It's weird. The dynamic between the two parents. It's strange.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Harriet is truly amused by these comments coming out of Willie's mouth.
I've got a copy of Tom Sawyer upstairs. You read it. You'll find something in it.
A whole book? That could take a year.
Not if you work at it, dear. After all, there's no sacrifice too great for one's art. Besides, you have to give to get.
I don't know nothing about sacrifice, but I'm going to have to give a whole lot of licorice.
It's like everything is so, dramatic with him. Like, I don't want to put any effort in whatsoever. So Willie's here. He's selling the idea to the boys.
Oh, come on, fellas. The pa says Tom Sawyer is the best book he ever read. He even marked some pages in it.
I guess you want to be Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, but it's my pa's book.
Why don't you get him to do a play with you?
Can't do that. But Ma says whoever's in the play can have a licorice stick and some sarsaparilla after we do it.
Sure asking a lot for a little licorice and sarsaparilla.
I might be able to get some marbles.
Wait a minute. Your pa's got Chunder back in that service, ain't he?
I guess.
And some cigars?
Yeah, but he won't let me use them.
Forget the other stuff. You get us a cha, some cigars, and we'll do that Tom Sawyer for you.
Who's this Ginger, by the way? This, redheaded, freckled kid came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure who he was, honestly.
Yeah, he, I don't know if we ever get a name for him, to be honest with you. But in this whole thing, I believe that is, who would that be? I'm just looking at the cast. I thought I had somebody who it might have been, but I don't think so.
Just an unnamed background character.
I wonder, who's Samuel Mason?
Not sure.
No, that couldn't have been him. All right, forget that. All right. So they're going to get some cigars and chewing tobacco. seems like a fair swap. He's so desperate to be friends with these kids. It's so strange.
I know.
So the next, I don't know if this is the next day, but they're at the sawmill and they're all hanging out, and we're going to talk a little bit about women. So you give me your take as to if you think this is an effective method of courting a woman.
Those two are going to make some man a fine family.
Yeah. You hear that, Charles? I do believe that's the first time I ever heard a lovesick coyote in the daylight.
Did have kind of that ring to it, Harold. You been calling on a Widow Clark, have you?
Not so you'd notice. She just don't cotton to me, I guess.
It's weird. This is guy talk in, like, 1877. Guy right. Talk.
I tried everything.
Well, you know what you ought to do. What you ought to do is you...
Get her a rasher of ham. Or bacon, rather. I'm sorry.
You gotta let her know how you feel. You see? Then you tell her how it's gonna be. I mean, there ain't a woman nowhere that don't appreciate a firm hand. Well, you take Grace, all right? I mean, she'd still be putting her nights away alone if I hadn't spoke up. Yes, sir. I mean, I told her how it was going to be. I told her what was going to happen.
Morning, Grace. Isaiah's just talking about you. We'll leave you two alone.
So they're goofing on him. She's not there, but he looks petrified. He's like, oh.
Rightfully so. I feel like Grace would not be okay with him talking like that about her.
Yeah, but I think she also kind of, his character is so also very animated. And
oh, yeah.
She probably hears this all the time where he kind of loses it and goes down these rabbit holes of telling wild tales.
Oh, yeah. That's just his trademark.
But, you know, so what do you think about this? Is it the most, I guess, sexist thing that you could say is like, you know, you just tell the woman how it's going to be?
I think in this context, in this show, it's just kind of funny because, you know, nobody that made the show, I would assume, did not actually think this way. But I mean, at the time, that was probably pretty accurate.
But
so,
if we're looking a little bit into the future, this is precisely what happens in this episode. So,
yeah.
And it works. So I don't know. I'm not taking the advice. I'm not suggesting anyone take the advice. What I'm saying is in the Little House on the Prairie universe, sexism works a little bit. So
yeah,
the proof is in the writing. But of course I'm joking, but essentially that is kind of what happened. So Harriet spent I'm sorry, go on.
Oh no, I guess I hadn't thought about that. That is exactly how it pans out in the end. So,
yeah, I didn't think about it until right now, actually. I was like, huh, yeah. You know, at the same time. All right, jeez. So Harriet probably stayed up all night using her writing skills to write a rewriting of Little Women, which is, I would love to get my hands on this. It's just very funny. One of my favorite parts of this entire episode is later when they actually perform the play. Mm-hmm. It's just, Nellie's cadence with her lines is so funny. And I just,
oh yeah,
never passed it. So here
and
we go.
Her...
No. Did you?
I'm sorry. Oh, just in that scene when she's, you know, quote unquote sewing, she's basically pounding her hand into her other hand, you know, up and down. And it's just like, I do so love sewing back and forth. It's so violent.
Yeah, it is. It's so violent. It's very funny. And, I'm sure Alison Arngrim looks at that and just kind of rolls her eyes and also probably sees the humor in it. But
oh, yeah.
Here we go. Little Women. And we're going to be at the first rehearsal that just so happened to be in the parlor. And I want to start keeping my eyes on the wallpaper because I feel like this is different wallpaper that I've seen in the past. So I wonder if they change it over time. I believe that the Olsons would, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mary, you will be Marmy the mother. I thought it was a very nice part for you, dear.
Thank you.
And Laura, you be Beth. And Ginny, I thought you would make an excellent Joe. Yes, Nellie, dear. Nellie is going to be Meg. I tried to tailor all the parts for each of you. Now, girls, if you'll just take those.
And Laura just looks at Mary and gives her a look like, yeah, I bet you did. Oh, whoops.
home with you and memorize the lines so you'll know them for tomorrow's rehearsal.
That won't take long.
Yes, ma'am, we will. Oh, and don't any of you be late tomorrow. The man's going to be here right after school with my wig.
A wig? You're getting a wig, Nellie?
Yes, and a pretty one, too. He's going to fit it on me and everything.
What do you need a wig for?
Well, Laura, all fine actresses nowadays wear wigs. And it is Nellie's debut.
Can't wait to see it. Can't either.
Come on, Laura.
Our girls, now don't forget, study hard.
Ma'am, we will.
It's just so, like, patronizing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I still like this version of Harriet so much. I love the kind of helicopter parenting, and it's just really kind of funny. So we get to Willie, who's ransacking the store, and Nels kind of gets in there and finds out what's going on.
What are you doing?
I need a saw.
What for?
The play, Tom Sawyer. All the boys are getting ready to practice.
Oh, you got some boys to do the play with you, huh?
Yeah, even some of the big boys want to play now.
Was that so? Well, this ought to do fine. Do you need a hammer and nails?
No, just a saw.
Well, don't lose it.
I won't.
Some of the big boys, huh?
So Nels is happy about that, of course, you know. All in all, Willie's a pretty good kid. We think. On the extra.
Yeah.
Seems like a cute kid who eats a lot. But,
Oh, yeah.
Here we are walking past the creek.
I know we shouldn't have done this play with Nellie.
Well, it's too late now.
I suppose.
Besides, this way you don't have to memorize too many lines.
I already know them. Oh, yes. No, my. That's it.
See what I mean? You know them already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very nice background, too, like, wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like another kind
of very scenic.
Yeah, it's like another one of these kind of like probably man-made lakes. So we get back to the little house and we have Ma scrubbing that floor, which bothered me so much. I don't know why. I just think it's never really gonna look clean because it's just
no.
Wood.
It's not. It's unfinished wood. It's just
man. She's got this bucket. Strange, right?
Hello, girls.
Hi, Ma.
How was school today?
All right.
We got our parts for the play.
You don't sound very excited.
Not much to be excited about. Nellie got all the lines.
Oh, it can't be that bad.
Wait till you read it. All I have to say is two yeses. That's right. And let Meg tell you.
Guess who plays Meg?
Well, I'm sure Mrs. Olson did her best.
For Nellie, she sure did.
Ginny weren't in it, I wouldn't even be in Mrs. Olson's old play.
Oh, does Ginny have a better part?
No, just as she's excited about doing it. With the parents coming and all.
Well.
This floor would never get clean.
No. Just,
I just don't. Wow. It's just, the whole thing is so strange.
It's going to be over on Friday. That's not too much to endure.
I guess.
Ma, if this is what play acting is like, I'm never going to go on stage.
Laura's such a complainer. Jeez. Shut up, Laura.
This whole episode, just the worst attitude.
Yeah. So we see the kids kind of rehearsing. Nels comes back to his house and he's like, what happened to the gate? He realized that Willie stole the gate to rehearse with because they have to paint the fence. So it's a lot of small talk. I guess the equivalent of small talk that's going on here. We have, right. But we have, and I'm never going to remember this, Mr. Mayfield coming by the house, just kind of uninvited, just popping in.
Flowers are for Jenny. She's already left for school.
And he's coming up. He's dressed really nicely, especially for Walnut Grove. And he's holding a small bouquet of flowers. He's taking a different method of getting to this woman. And I would say this is the more traditional, better method. of giving, you know, just kind of approaching somebody from a non-threatening standpoint.
Right.
The nice guy trick. It's how I got my wife. Tricked.
There you go.
I didn't pick him for Jenny. I picked him for you.
Whatever for.
Don't be coy with me, woman. It's like, I would just love for him to say that. This poor guy is trying so hard. And he even has the bow tie on, like the, the, I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, it's just like a ribbon tied around his neck. Like, that was the equivalent of a tie back then, I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, they had definitely regular Windsor knot ties. But I guess this was more of the style.
Yeah.
But he's really trying hard. I feel bad for this character.
Oh, I know.
Man comes to call, it only seems right.
I don't remember ever saying anything to give you the idea I was receiving gentlemen callers.
No, ma'am, you didn't, but I just figured if I didn't get it out pretty soon, I just wouldn't say it at all.
Mr. Mayfield.
Please, it's hard for me to say what's on my mind. I mean, you're being such a handsome woman, you know how I feel about the little one. I want you to know that I feel as strong about you.
What I'm trying to say is,
it would do me proud if you would join me, accompany me to with Jenny to see her doings at the school.
That was not her. That was the cow.
I couldn't do that.
But why?
Because I won't be going. There's plenty to do around here.
The little one will be heartbroken.
It's like this dump. But, you know, wouldn't it be a little scandalous? A little. I mean, the way that people are back then. If they went together.
I don't maybe. Know. I think it would just raise a lot of questions for people. But.
Well, Harriet would have a number of questions.
Oh, for sure.
Well, she's just going to have to learn to live with disappointment. I have.
Now, this is where things get a little bit darker and cold. And he's mad that her decision is to not go with him. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a man who's pretty passionate. So we're going to see him be honest with her.
Your man has been gone for more than 2 years now, and more than 10 more won't bring him back.
Given my choice, I wouldn't be mourning. I'd have gone with him.
Which is so dark and selfish.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what about your kid?
Right. Just leaving her behind with nothing. No
this,
parents.
This palace you live in? I mean, you have a cow over there mooing? What about him?
He wouldn't have wanted that any more than my woman would have wanted me to follow her 5 years ago.
And he sure wouldn't want you hiding yourself out here
good
like
day,
you
Mr.
do.
Mr. Mayfield.
Oh, can I? Please, listen, I keep on talking.
Good day, Mr. Mayfield. Now would you please go?
He gave a one last ditch effort, right? Like a real, like it was over. This conversation really kind of crumbled. There's no coming back from that, right? Like there's no like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'll go with you. But, you know, I guess it was one of those things that were written in just to show his frustration.
Right.
Poor guy.
I know. There's such desperation in his voice.
Yeah.
And he really put forth some effort.
So after watching that scene, you get a little bummed out. And you know, you're kind of like, oh, this is, where is this all going? So we get to the Olsen's house, which is probably the best thing to happen to this entire episode is this scene where we get to see Alison Arngrim in a brunette wig. And I just think she'd pull off being a brunette, I guess. You know, it's just, it's just very strange to see Nellie Olson with black hair, brown hair. So. Mm-hmm. And the salesman is right up there with one of my favorite people.
There we are, my dear. Looks as though you grew it yourself, if I do say so.
This guy's a great voice. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know who he is. I really should look him up, but he's the type of guy who I'd love to hear narrate stuff.
Absolutely.
Or tell me how much things cost. In the background, Laura is just bored. Like, she's just like, this is supposed to be a rehearsal, right? And they're just there to see her get fitted for a wig, which is just crazy.
A veritable Cleopatra.
Oh,
here, have a look for yourself.
It's awful long.
Well, it's supposed to be, dear. Isn't it, Mr. Mason?
Oh, yes, gives it body.
Yeah.
After all, this is the finest hair. I wouldn't want to waste it on a skimpy wig.
No, I'm sure.
I want it curled, like my hair.
Yes, yes, she must have curls.
That's a lot of hair to be curling.
I want curls.
Well, I can do that, of course, but there will be an extra charge. It takes most of the evening.
Oh, well, how much will it be for the curls?
Now, for one, that's a very tacky thing to ask. How much? Does it really matter how much it is? But what I think is so strange about this is how much... I'm not really 100% sure. I know that wigs can be very, very expensive.
Right.
In Judaism, women wear very expensive wigs, and they're called shaitels. And they look perfect. And, you know, and if they don't look perfect, they look terrible, you know? And those can be very, very expensive, like, you know, $1,000, $2,000. So I guess this might be in line with it, but I just cannot believe the number that he throws out, keeping in mind that $1 is equal to roughly $25.
Right.
Say 18, 20, carry the...
And what's he doing? Do you see this? Is he writing on his wrist? Because... It's almost like he has, like, one of those watch calculators. But he's...
I don't
know what he's doing. Is he just coming up with a number, you know? The whole thing is very strange.
All told, it comes to $27.
$27? Holy moly. Let's hear what Harriet has to say about that.
$27? For goodness sakes, all I wanted was a little wig for a play.
So... adjusted for inflation, that would be roughly $656.73. That's a lot of money.
I know. I looked that up and I thought, that's insane. That's a lot of money for this little school play.
Yeah. And do you think the Olsons who run, I mean, all right, we know that they're the wealthiest in the town, but do you have the equivalent of $650 just to throw into, a tiny aspect of a what will end up to be a less than 5 minute play. It seems like a very strange thing to spend your money on. But here we go.
Mother, I want this one.
Mrs. Olson, I paid $18 for the hair alone.
You paid somebody $18 just to let you cut their hair?
True, and the price is going up all the time.
After all, our pa says hair is a woman's crowning glory.
Ah, that it is. That's why a fine wig is worth its weight in gold.
Ah, yes, well, now we'll take it, but it must be curled.
Why, have the curling iron in the wagon. It'll be ready by morning.
All right.
I wonder if Mary's like, my pa does not make $27 a year.
Probably.
Well, I do think they make more. They do make more than that, of course, but I don't know. It just seems so excessive.
Oh, yeah.
And wouldn't they get a wholesale price? They are a store. Very strange.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Mason.
Thank you, Mrs. Olson.
Yeah, oh, that's who Mr. Mason is. I'm sorry. Samuel Mason, played by Roger Bowen.
Okay.
And, you know, I spoke to Angela Bowen on a very recent podcast, and it would be kind of interesting if she had some relation, but probably not. I mean, but I will ask because it's a crazy question to ask, but he's been in a lot of things. He was in the 1982 Scott Baio movie Zapped, which is really a great movie, a great, terrible movie. an episode of The Jeffersons and The Ropers, and he did a lot of television shows, but like a lot of sitcoms. I'm going to guarantee I've seen him on this. And he's also the advertising man in the episode Wave of the Future.
Okay.
So that's where I kind of know him, because we just reviewed that recently.
Huh. Yeah.
I forget about all these people. So so we're getting this really awesome wig. You know, we're all very excited. And this play is, the whole town is talking about it, right? No, not really. We do get to a little sad moment, and hold on, I'm just kind of queuing it up. Pa goes into the barn, and which dog is that? Do you know? I never remember. It's Jack.
I think that's Jack.
Yeah.
Because Bandit comes later in the show. I think when Bandit's black. I don't remember what season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I always want to call him Tiger from the Brady Bunch, but I'm not. But he comes in there, and Carrie is sitting, kind of weeping.
Carrie? What's the matter, honey?
I want to be in the play with Mary and Laura.
Oh, now you will be when you get bigger.
Everybody always says that. What if I don't get bigger?
But you will.
I hope so.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You know, it's just as much fun to go see a play as it is to be in one.
You mean I can go?
Sure you can.
I'm gonna go tell Ma.
All right.
So this is a really funny little thing. A lot of people might not notice what happens next. But that was a very cute little thing for Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are against Carrie. Who is your least favorite Little House on the Prairie character?
You know, honestly, in the early seasons, Mary gets on my nerves so much because she's just such a goody two-shoes and just, you know, always in line, just so perfect.
Now, I'm really surprised you said that. Because Mary is the worst. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a tough one. Uh-huh. She's a little too... She's too mouthy in the middle seasons, especially in The Handyman. I felt like that was like the turning point for her. She's, I have to agree with you. Mary is the worst. But here we go. We have Carrie running up to tell Ma, and we hear her say something, which I'll have to mention what she's doing.
Ma, I gotta go. I'll tell you later.
So she's running in, and she's about to tell her that she's going to go to the play, and then she realizes she has to pee or something. So she makes a quick turn and runs up to the outhouse. Really funny.
I know.
Also, just a really good Carrie scene, actually. Not, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Put her to work. Making a bundle of money. Both of them.
And she was mostly, you know, understandable in that, you know, when she was speaking in that instance.
Yeah, you know, I think people are a little too tough on Carrie. A lot of people attack me on it, but I don't know. I think her and, Grace really never spoke, really. Do you remember?
No, I don't think so. No, she mostly just cried in the show.
Yeah, poor kid. all right. So here we are on the little bridge in the prairie. And we're just kind of chatting.
Sure, I'm glad that plays tomorrow. Otherwise, I wouldn't have anything else to say.
You know, Mary has like a good 2-inch heel, maybe an inch and a half, on her shoes. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. I never noticed them having heels on their shoes. They usually had flats, I thought.
Yeah, no, I hadn't noticed interesting. That.
I just noticed it for the first time. This is how it mostly worked for me. But yeah, basically complaining about the play, and we're going to get an analogy about Doc Baker's dental practice. We're going to get a little discussion about the dental practice.
She took out one of my S's, am I? That's right.
Well, stop complaining. It'll all be over soon.
That's what Dr. Baker said when he pulled my tooth. It still hurt. I like the play. I just wish my Ma was coming.
She's not going to be there?
Mm-mm. Did she tell you why?
She gave lots of reasons.
Mothers do that when they don't want you to argue.
The problem is finding out the real reason. Our pa's good at that. Jenny argues real sweetly. Always gets around Ma that way.
Does it really work?
Works for Pa.
I forgot something. I have to go back.
Do you want us to wait?
No, go on. I'll get home all right.
Now, I thought it was a little bit strange for them to say, well, what my Pa does, and it's like her father just died 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Kind of a strange little dynamic there. It's not Laura and Mary.
Yeah.
You know, what they'll be gossiping at the dinner table tonight. Well, you know, Ginny's mother's not coming to the play.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And then you have Charles, who's like, well, you know, Mr. Mayfield has been trying to get in touch. You know, you can just imagine what's going on around that dinner table.
Oh, yeah.
Harry's like, you know, probably still in the outhouse. Where's Carrie? Oh, and Carrie was just crying and crying and crying.
Oh, gosh.
There's too much, too much. A little house for this. But, you know, they do gossip a lot. And let's
oh, yeah.
Real. So, the next little snippet we have Jenny coming in with a package. And I thought it was going to be steaks. It's not steaks. And it's a little bit of a gift for her mother.
Get your what is this?
For you, Mama.
Now, what is it?
Present, open.
Oh, where did you ever get this dress?
You said you'd come to the play if you had a decent dress to wear, and this was the prettiest Mr. Olsen had.
But where did you get the money for it?
It's a secret.
Jenny? That Mr. Mayfield, wasn't it? Well, you can just take this dress back to Mr. Olsen, and you can take that money back to Mr. Mayfield.
It wasn't Mr. Mayfield.
Now, don't you lie to me. You had no money.
But I did.
Now, not another word. Now, you will go to your room without your supper, and first thing in the morning, you'll take this back where it belongs. And you can tell that Mr. Mayfield that we don't appreciate his tricks. Now, go do as you're told.
Now, here's the thing. We don't know exactly how much money she got for her hair. I'm going to say Mr. Mason talked her down.
Probably so. I mean, like otherwise she would have had a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe $8, which is still equivalent to about $200.
Mm-hmm.
But that dress did not cost, you know, $8. So I'm wondering,
no.
Where's the rest of the money, Jenny? What's going on?
She stashed it away.
Yeah, she did. She's going to run away. I mean, it's a whole other thing going on that they had to write out because people were just, they were reading too far into it. The mom is really mad. I think that it's just very, very silly that she's mad. I just think that it's very, very silly.
Yeah.
So we have one little kind of weird moment where we have Ma who's obsessed with mopping and cleaning the floor. Do you want to talk about what happens in this scene with the mop?
Yeah. So Ma is looking for her new mop and, you know, not sure what happened to it, and so they call Laura, and she comes to she's in the loft, and she comes to the ladder, and she has the mop on her head because she wanted to, I guess, see what it was like to have a wig on, although that it's pretty different for sure.
Yeah, very strange. And then so in the next scene we have Mr. Mayfield, who just happens to be going by and sees Ginny hanging out in a dead tree. And, you know, noticeably upset. So he goes and speaks to her. Again, I think that there's a bit of an overreach here with an adult and a young girl. But if we put that all aside, we know that his intentions are not negative.
Right.
I wasn't hungry.
Well, now that is awful serious. Of course, I heard actor people that don't eat much before they do a show.
I'm not gonna be in this show.
Why not, little one?
Mom's not gonna come. I begged her, Mr. Mayfield. She just doesn't care.
Your mom is hard to understand sometimes, but she does care for you.
No, she doesn't. I even bought her a dress. and told me to take it back.
Is that what's in this package?
She wouldn't believe me. She thought it was from you. She wouldn't take it.
It's all right. It's all right. All right, just stop crying. I'll take this back.
So he has an idea. What he's going to do is... he's going to do what Isaiah said before, really. But he does the right thing also. I think... sometimes people need a little bit of a kick in the butt to get their lives moving again, especially in tragedy, such as losing a loved one. And she's always looking out the window, and she's always kind of like, what's going on behind that window? And she's just kind of a busybody, it seems. And I don't know. I just think she's young enough, and he's young enough, and he's interested in her, and she seems to really show no interest, actually. So... well, but here we go. We're going to see what he says to Mrs. Clark.
Mr. Mayfield, I thought I said everything I had to say.
Not this time, Mrs. Clark. This has nothing to do with me. It has to do with your daughter.
I don't see where Jenny is any concern of yours.
Did you speak with her this morning?
No, she was gone before I came back from doing the milking.
There's a picture on the wall, okay. I'm going to take a quick screenshot because I need to compare this. I'm pretty sure that either that is the same picture that they use when they're adopting Albert, or maybe it's Edgar Allan Poe. I don't know. I need to compare that, but I guarantee you like they would use the same kind of stock images over and over again. They remember in the Albert episode from a long time ago, I wanted to go down this rabbit hole of finding out who this person was. And I did all these reverse searches and getting as high of a resolution image as I could. And I just could not find it. This will bring me back to that little rabbit hole, but it would be interesting to see this picture from another episode. I don't know for sure yet though.
But so, you know, she bought this dress for you.
Yes, and I know where she got the money, too, Mr. Mayfield.
Well, you know a lot more than I know, Mrs. Clark. All I know is I found a little girl crying this morning on what should be the biggest day of her life. All because her mother can't tell the difference between what's pity for herself and what's selfish to her own daughter.
Mr. Mayfield, are you telling me that...
Yes. You decide to do what's right and put on this dress. I'll be waiting with the wagon. Because I, for one, want to see Jenny's play.
Well, Mr. Mayfield, you know, you're not invited, right? Like, you're not a parent. So that's a little bit of an awkward conversation to have, right?
Yeah, and what if she had decided to just not go and he just sat out there for the whole time?
He would go anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just like... But this is the biggest thing to happen in Hero Township in months, probably. Years.
Probably so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what did we have before this? You have to leave town to have any fun.
Exactly.
So Willie, of course, we get back to Willie. We have a little subplot going on. We know that Willie had promised a tobacco product to his now best friends. So he goes and he starts raiding the cigar box and he gets busted, of course.
Willie, what do you think you're doing?
Just getting some stuff for the play, Pa.
You don't need any of that for Tom Sawyer.
I promised. Ma said I could.
Well, you do as I say. Get on over to school.
But...
do as I say.
Willie, come along, darling. Don't be late.
I'm not going.
Oh, Nels, you just go along without us. She's got stage fright. I've never heard of an actress yet that doesn't have some temperament.
So, yeah, she does have a form of stage fright, but this is one of the things I love about Nels. He always has a snide remark once the person exits the room.
What's your excuse the rest of the time?
It's like somebody kill me. poor Nels. He's always spending the equivalent of $650 on a wig. Holy cow. I'd be so mad. Mrs. Olson, Harriet goes up to her room, up to the bedroom, and getting into a little bit of an argument, and we're not really sure why yet.
Hey, Open the door, dear.
I'm not going, and I'm not going to wear this old wig.
Oh, yes, you are, dear. Mother's already paid for it.
I'm not going to do it.
Yes, you are, Nellie Olson. Now you open the door this instant, or I am going to get your father's strap.
And she comes out, and her hair is horrible. Like, it is the tightest curls that you can imagine, to the point where I don't even know what this looks like. It just looks terrible.
Well, you're the one who wanted to wear curls.
Why don't you listen to me? I'm only a child.
A child, you. You get down the...
A great, great, great line for this particular... I love seeing the hallway too. I love seeing that there's this kind of oil painting on the wall, and we never get to really see these things up close, unfortunately. They even have a little bit of an oriental rug on the ground with, I mean, of course it's a set, but the little details really matter. I believe porcelain doorknobs and stuff like that, it's all kind of period correct.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. So we're getting ready. Everybody has everybody's a little nervous about what's going on. For the most part, we have. I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Mm-hmm. Willie gets busted because they're saying, you know, you promised us the cigars and you're not going to give it to us. And this is basically it.
Not my fault. That was just a story. You never meant to get him.
Did so.
You did not.
Did so.
Did not.
Did so.
Did not.
So they go on for about 45 minutes like that. But the boys get a slight revenge on Willie. And it's kind of, it's mean. It's funny. It's funny enough. But Willie comes in. They dump the white paint over Willie's head. Which, of course, is kind of funny. But I isolated the biggest laugh, rather the biggest laugher, and I'll play it and see what you think of it. It's almost like Michael Landon has a separate microphone or something.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, any scene that he's laughing, or he's, you know, in the scene with other people laughing, his laugh is the most boisterous, and it's just, I mean, it makes you want to laugh too, honestly, because it's just so outrageous.
And by the way, you are absolutely right. Edwards is holding, what's her name? Clarissa? No.
Alicia.
Yeah. He's holding her. So I guess the timeline kind of, it tricked me again. And they're all laughing at this poor kid. It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, that's kind of mean. Mr. Mayfield and Mrs. Clark walk in. They're not laughing at all, though.
No, they look
really
so
uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, you know, and it's funny, Miss Beadle's almost like the usher. It's like, do you have your ticket? And she pulls out her little flashlight to look at it. And it's like, you're down there. You're going to a hockey game or something. So,
I know.
Very strange, but yeah, they seem humorless, but I can understand why Mr. Mayfield feels this way, because he's like, I don't know if it was probably a very uncomfortable ride
from
the Clark farm to the school. Let's assume it was at least a 15 or 20 minute ride for those 2 miles. So they're laughing and laughing and laughing. So I'm going to actually play until it goes into the play.
For our next presentation, one of my favorite stories, Little Women. Starring Nellie Olson as Meg.
So immediately Edwards is cracking up. What I think should have happened, and I'm really surprised it didn't, I'm surprised that you didn't have Charles, like, let out one of those big boisterous laughs and have Caroline give him a hit, you know?
Right.
Because he looks like he wants to crack up, and she gives that, you know, patented Karen Grassley look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Harriet turning back, like, what are you laughing at? How dare you?
Mary Ingalls as Marnie, the mother. Laura Ingalls as Beth. Hey! And Ginny Clark as Joe.
Also, why do the Ingalls have the worst seats in the house?
You know, that's a good question.
Why do they seem to always be?
Yeah.
They are in the back row, and Edwards is in the standing room only area. Oh, my goodness. But, all right, so I'm not going to interrupt this. It's so funny. We might have to rewind it and dissect it a little bit. Or rather, deconstruct it. It's so funny.
Little Women, written by my mother. Mother Marmee has just received word that her husband has fallen sick in Washington, and she has to make the trip to see him. I'm Meg, and I've just saved the day by arranging for Mr. Brooks to take her. Now Marmee and I sit sewing in the parlor. I do so love sewing, don't you, Marmee?
Yes, Meg.
I do hope Beth comes soon with the tea. Is it nice and hot?
Yes.
I do so love tea. Don't you, Marmy?
That's just so fun. Her tone is so funny.
Yes, Meg. Oh, here comes Joe. I wonder what she could have been up to. What's this?
Let Meg tell you.
A roll of bills, $25. Her contribution towards making Father comfortable and bringing him home.
Now, why don't they have props? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I guess because Mrs. Olsen spent all the money on that wig.
It's true. It's like, yeah, pretty much like she's going to have to be probably the cellie on the team.
Well, however could you have gotten it? I hope you didn't beg, borrow, or steal it. Let me see. However could you have done it?
And she pulls back her bonnet, revealing her poor haircut. Like, it's really a terrible haircut.
Yeah, it's such a hack job. Poor thing.
You know, with this whole quarantine thing that's going on, I have two dogs. And we were not able to get in touch with our groomer. Or, you know, we have a groomer who comes here and he has, like an RV, and he takes the dogs into the RV and he cuts them in there. It's like he has this whole mobile setup, and he's really amazing, but he wasn't able to do it. So I had to cut my dog's hair. And one is a Maltese with very long white hair, and the other one is a poodle with very thick black hair. And
oh, wow.
I did such a poor job that I could have easily been the kind of guy who cut people's hair when they were to sell their hair for wigs. Easily. I could have done it. Because both my dogs look a little bit like this. Even now, I'm like, I run after them with the scissor, and they show me their snarlies. They really don't. They're not too happy with me. But anyway, that's what it kind of reminds me of.
Oh, yeah. You cut your hair. Oh, Ginny, you really did cut your hair.
You idiot. That's kind of like so strange. And so they're all amazed, right? They're like, oh my God, you really did cut your hair. And what does Nellie say?
Why, Ginny? It's only hair. It'll grow back.
You're not supposed to say that.
Ginny didn't really have to cut your hair. Not for a silly old play. I didn't do it for the play.
Why'd you cut it?
Yes, tell everyone and all of us. We're all townsfolk.
I know. Way to put her on the spot like that.
Right. It's very strange. It's like, you know, we're all parents and also Mr. Mayfield.
I just wanted to.
That's not true. You know it's not.
You're ruining the play!
Be quiet, Nellie. You can tell us, Ginny.
All of us.
I sold it to Mr. Mason.
Why? Why, Ginny? Why?
So I could buy a new dress for my mother. So she could come here today.
So this is a weird version of Little Women, right?
Yeah.
Now, Miss Beadle has one of my favorite lines in probably the entire... You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get it perfect. Hopefully I get it here. I did not get it correctly.
Oh.
The play is over.
I still didn't get it.
When am I going to get to say my line? Be quiet, Nellie. The play is over.
And they're all so happy. You cut your hair for your ma. Now.
Yeah.
So they all exit the building. Very sweet. The whole world knows all their business. Totally.
I know.
This is something we can really talk about tonight over, around the dinner table. we have a lot of stuff to talk about. This is going to be an exciting dinner in my eyes. So Mr. Mayfield and Mrs. Clark seem to have started some type of interest in each other. And I don't know. It just seems like this is going to happen. This is going to end up very happy, I think. I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you like the play, Mr. Mayfield?
Thought you were great, little one.
Do you mind about my short hair?
No, that makes you the prettiest.
Oh, I think so, too.
Let's go.
How do you feel?
Now, Mrs. Carter... It's not Mrs. Carter, is it? No, Mrs. Clark. You kept on saying mm-hmm. Carter. Now, if she cuts her hair, they can afford to go buy a different farm.
I know.
Think of
There's
all the money
to be made
yes.
with all the hair in that town.
It's true.
Are you sure you never want to go on stage again?
It's all right, I guess, but never again is Nellie Olsen.
No, I couldn't tell under all that hair.
How about you, Mary? Play acting's all right, I guess. But when it turns out right, real life's a whole lot better.
I agree with you there, sweetheart. There's no doubt about it. Come on, let's go.
Very sweet ending. They go and they ride into the sunset. Happy little family. But we never see them again, so we have no follow-up.
I know. That's most of the characters in this show. I mean, you know, you find out about these people, and it seems like they've all been good friends for so long, and then just what happens to them? They're never there.
Right. And this is why the whole world seems to know who Charles Ingalls is, because... they have such so much turnover in Walnut Grove. People are just moving in and out constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I always thought that that was kind of a strange thing. But I like this character. I always like these kind of characters. I think that they really add so much to the entire show, but they're only there for 48 minutes.
Right.
But all in all, you know. But I'm glad that... I'm glad we chose this episode. I think it was a really sweet episode.
Yeah.
But Amanda, I want to thank you very much for doing this episode. I do appreciate it. What did you think of this experience?
Oh, it was great. I, you know, really showing how much of a Little House nerd I am and, you know, embracing it.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I had a lot of fun and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.